Hey, you guys, it's Rico Fajardo. I play Mirio Togata in My Hero Academia, and you're listening to Two Dads in a Podcast.
Welcome to Two Dads in a Podcast.
The podcast.
See, I keep telling you we got to switch it up. Welcome to Two Dads in a Podcast.
The musical.
Yeah. No, I just used that one.
Yeah, you did just use that one. All right, let's try this one more time. Welcome to Two Dads and the Podcast.
The sporting event. So, today, we take the sports ball from one in place to the other hoop zone, and we touch down on Rico Fajardo.
Rico what?
Fajardo.
Come on, you can do it.
No, I love the guy, so I'm not going to butcher his last name.
No, Rico Fajardo, the voice of Mirio Togata, Lemillion from My Hero Academia, Nozel from Black Clover. He has been in so much.
So you guys got to know, like,
Taiju from Dr. Stone. Watch
TD
that
worked
one, that's great.
So hard to get this interview to happen. Like, he put in a lot of work, a lot of groundwork. Like, he romanced the guy.
I sent him chocolates.
I didn't know the name going into it, but when you look into what he's done,
it's incredible.
Oh, well, I thought, like, oh, well, this will be a great, like, up-and-coming voice actor to do. Then I started looking at his credits.
Surprise!
Oh, my God.
Surprise!
Holy
man.
Shit.
And he is a wonderfully kind... He has such an incredible, humble attitude. And, you know, he just emits positivity. You know, I watch him stream. He streams on Twitch as well. You can find him just straight under Rico Fajardo.
He's another one who loves his fans.
Oh, man. He loves fans. He loves video games. And, you know, I guess we can stop pumping him up.
No,
we'll just let you see for himself.
We had an entire interview planned and set up.
Oh, man.
And
just
we
completely
didn't get any questions.
Yeah, we didn't.
It was straight
I mean,
off the
bat.
We got
to a few questions, but literally well, we just chatted about video games and music and just...
Well, for me, who didn't really know who he was beforehand... Like, me and him hit it off great, and then we just, all three of us went down memory lane for about a half hour, 40 minutes, before we decided that there was an interview to be had.
Yeah, like, okay, I guess we should start asking some questions now.
Honestly, I liked the part before we even started asking questions.
Oh,
we had
yeah.
a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. So, but guys, here we go, without any more fluff, without talking about you guys.
The entire
to...
interview he's showing is just the 15-minute portion where he goes to get beans. And you go to check on the little one, and it's just
you know what's really funny?
It's the Joe show. It's,
you know, it's
Felix time.
Really, really funny about the beans, though, is apparently on his Discord, there is an ongoing joke with him with beans, and I had no clue about this going in, so it just makes that part even funnier. But that part, it got cut. Because it was the Joe show. I had to cut that. So, but all right, guys.
You got to pay for that. You
relax.
Pay for that contact.
And enjoy the interview.
What's up, man?
Yo, how's it going?
Hello. Hey, how you doing? Nice.
You know.
Nice little green screen going on back here.
Oh, yeah. Here, I should probably pull that, huh? Are you guys going to do video? You're good?
No, I mean, we'll throw just our faces behind you.
Yes.
A collage of them. A bunch of different ones.
That's what I want. Good. Yeah.
It'll just be us staring over your shoulders the entire time.
What the fuck?
Oh, man, with the voice mod bleep ready.
Mm-hmm. Been streaming, man, so I got my gears all, you know.
I haven't gotten the timing down on mine yet. So
oh, yeah, you're too late.
It
you're
still
like,
comes
fuck.
Out. pretty much.
Oh man, but I don't. Man,
yeah, we
I don't,
do.
I don't filter this.
That's good. you want it. You want the undiluted.
That's right. We do. We air the interviews on my Twitch channel.
Cool.
You'll probably recognize the name from watching you. It's Tired Dad Games.
Yeah.
It's
funny, man. Like, the streaming has been such an interesting thing. like just because it's at the beginning of the Rona times, I was like, this is like depressing, y'all. Like I used to, it was like in the, I don't know about you guys, but like right when the Rona was starting, I was very, very active flying all over the place for My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. And it was like, just breaks, you know, hard breaks on everything. And I was like, man, this is rough, dude. So when I started streaming, it was mostly just to like connect.
Have something to do.
Something to do. Yeah. I guess I shouldn't even say fans. It was like, cause there were some people who were like, I'm so sad. We're not going to be able to see you. I'm like, well, come play games. Let's play, you know, whatever, Among Us or whatever the hell,
right.
You know, Fall Guys, whatever was out at the time. But yeah, dude, like now it's really began to cultivate into something really kind of sweet and awesome. And I'm excited when conventions come back that I'll be able to like, you know, obviously hang out in person. That's the,
oh yeah.
The goal. One of these
days, but. Oh shoot. I guess we'll ask some questions.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Rico, for warming up for us. That was a pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought like every once in a while, whenever I do I do have auditions later. I was like, okay, we've got podcasts and I'm going to be talking for a bit. I know you guys have been streaming, like, talking takes it out of you guys. You can vocally get tired just chatting, as I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%. I've
done music sessions, like full recording sessions, and it's just not fun after a while.
You got to get your Wawa in there.
How about, can we do take 36?
I don't have it.
It.
Yeah, next week. Dang, man. This is really cool that we are able to hang out here, though, and do some digital stuff. I get kind of like really secretly happy in my heart that we're still being very productive despite there being a motherfucking pandemic out there.
No, it was a great year for us to start a podcast where, I mean, you guys are all trapped. You have nothing else to
That's do. Right. You're like, I know you're not doing it. You're available. I know you're available. I see you on Twitch right now.
Like, cut the shit, Rico. We know where you're at.
Yeah, I see my phone blow. Your fave narrator, he's one of my pals that I met out here in Dallas. And he's got like several million followers on YouTube, like very well known on online. And he straight up called me in the middle of a Twitch stream, and he's like, "Answer your phone." I was like, "Stop it, bro! I'm streaming." Oh, you literally see me on stream. I'm like, I think we underrate how much there's like a tangential sort of or like a tangential social. Like you guys play The Sims. There's that like social meter that like gets filled. And I'm like a personality wise, I think I'm an ENFP, an extroverted, even though I'm like close to being introverted. I love my alone time. But like when I go to work or I go to someplace, like if we were at a studio and I saw you guys, even just passively, I would like be like, ah, yes, you know, Joseph's kid. Like, you know, I'd clock it. And even though we don't talk all the time, I would like internally know that you're in my circle and you're alive and things are okay. But like digitally, literally, there are people who are like, you know, who passed away due to the virus. And I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like, I feel so disconnected. Like, it's wild, man. So honestly, things I'm just completely like, just from the bottom of my heart, it's like, it means a lot to be able to even have conversations like this, because this is filling my social meter. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, it means a lot to us, too. You know, like I'm a stay at home dad. You know, I lost my job in 2019 and
I'm doing all right over here.
So, you know, being at home at first, I was like, cool, you know, end of 2019, you know, we'll switch. The missus is going to pick up full time. I'm going to be stay at home. I'm going to take the kid out and we're going to do all these fun things and go places. And
no.
So it's nice to be able to do this kind of stuff. And, you know, we never imagined we would be sitting down and talking with, you know, My Hero Academia and stars and all that stuff. So it's been a wild ride over 2020. But, well, I guess we should jump into more legitimate questions.
Yeah, whatever, dude. We could freaking play, like, let's play some games while we...
let's do it, man. Let me pull up my Steam account here.
All I have over here is the Super Nintendo.
I've got Overwatch.
Oh, you got SNES? Well, we can comment. You can play Punch-Out and we'll comment at how bad you're getting wrecked by Glass Joe.
Man, that system is harder than people remember.
Yes! Right?
Oh, 100%.
Nintendo, 100%. Kids won't understand. I remember, dude, when I freaking first respawned on Xbox in Halo.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, like, you just come back? I'm like, yeah, you respawn. And I'm like...
You don't lose everything in anything you've ever done?
Because Nintendo days, you die, you're dead.
You're dead. You start from the beginning. Yes, 100%. I mean,
learn,
I guess
learn
with Halo,
the map,
you can
scrub.
You can run lasso on Halo, and then you'd have to do that. But nobody wants to run lasso on Halo anymore.
We could be legendary. It's just I'm going to hang back and snipe, and you constantly run in and shotgun everything to hell.
And just respawn constantly. Yes, yeah, that's what I do. Yes. I'll play with my wife, and I'll be like, look, honey, I know you like to run up and hit things and shoot things. I'm going to stand back here and just go. Just
Man, that's
if
me.
I run out
gun,
of ammo,
baby.
I'm going to melee you. Mm-hmm. Take your ammo.
Noob tube. Just bring rocket to the ground. Sticky grenades. It's the enemy. I love those guys. Anyway, have we started? I apologize.
I mean, I've been recording.
Actually,
this is all
it's
fine.
Almost over, actually. We got rushed through these last couple questions.
Well, GG. That was a really good podcast. Incredible.
Oh, shit. So... What type of games did you grow up playing?
Dude, you mentioned it, SNES. So, like, the first system I recall playing was we had a ColecoVision.
Oh, nice. See, I was just talking to you.
We were just talking about ColecoVision.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We've been doing our favorite video
weird
game
thing
from...
to talk about.
It is a weird thing to talk about.
ColecoVision.
These things come up, okay? These things come up.
People think we're making that up. Kids these days are like, you making that up. That's not real. The ColecoVision that I recall, like was the little, it was like a box and the monitor was like in the, what the hell was it? It was like in the system. So you click it and there's a little like black and white monitor that would pop up and you could play like stickball on it and stuff. That was old as balls. And then also Atari was dope. We played Pole
Position. Atari 2600.
Dude. Food Fight was my favorite.
Least favorite is Pitfall.
Oh my god, that's so hard. Yeah, alligators. I'm like, but you know, we just clustered around this tiny little system. You know, like, and the paddle was really interesting because you had the two buttons and the thing. But man, I fell in love with Pac-Man. Pac-Man was my jam on Nintendo. Nice. Man, and then Nintendo came. I remember stories of my sister Melissa. They're playing Zelda. So we played, you know, the first Zelda. And after we beat it, I read in a Nintendo Power magazine, because you know there's no internet back then, you guys.
Oh, no, right. No.
Just so people know.
Word of mouth and
word of mouth is how you
official things.
Dude, that is like the most analog. I'm playing Chrono Trigger right now on stream.
Yeah.
My all-time favorite
I saw you playing the other day. I actually busted out my PlayStation copy.
I have that too, dude. The greatest hits. Yeah, the Christmas color greatest hits. Dude. All this to say that we used to rent games back in the day. It was very analog and you would like save over people's saves. It was a whole thing. Then memory cards came out and now obviously you can just like save your things locally. But OG back in the day, like you would have to leave the system on, right? I mean, like I think Zelda was one of the first games you could save it on the cartridge. And I remember asking like, wait, so you, like it's on the cartridge? Like that's where the save is? And my siblings were like, I mean, I guess it's on there.
That's where you'd have to yell, Ma, don't turn my system off.
That's right. Don't touch the controller. Channel 3 is where everything happened. but anyway, all that said, I like remember at a game, Nintendo Power, it said like, if you put in Zelda as your name, it opens a whole new quest. And I showed that to my siblings and I felt like I was made of magic. A whole nother game on the cartridge.
Like, man.
Anyway, so that's where I started, man, was old school Nintendo. But SNES was where I like got my, that was my first
system. Oh yeah, Link to the Past, Super
Donkey
Mario
Kong
World.
Was the shit.
Oh my god, I mean, you had Country?
It was so good.
Love it. I've been loving the Switch where they keep adding those old games and they just added like Donkey Kong Country 3 and
the sound of Diddy Kong in the barrel. Tapping away. I'm like, I'm gonna get you, Diddy. I don't know where you're at,
I'll
find you.
Wait, I hear a barrel, I'm saved.
You're like, he's there.
So I see you've played a lot of games, like newer games on stream. I know you're going back to Chrono Trigger, and I've noticed you've been playing a lot of Hades, and you have like everything unlocked.
Nearly.
How many hours have you put into that?
I don't know, but okay. I will say at about an hour a run, I've attempted almost 60 escapes, so probably like 58-ish, 60-ish hours playing Hades.
And you already have like almost everything unlocked at 60-ish hours?
I mean, you know, kinda. I've been playing it like I've been playing it pretty conservatively though. Like there's a bonus you get. Like for those of you that haven't played the game, like there's a variety of weapons that you can select. And when you select one that has a little, it's like a purple sort of fire by it, that gives you bonus, like essentially currency in the game that allows you to unlock other stuff. And I would always pick that weapon. So
I'm doing that. So I'm like 30 hours in and I haven't like unlocked not even half of the stuff.
I'm a big like XP guy. Like when I played Castle Crashers, my favorite animal was Giraffe, which was an XP bonus. Mm-hmm. Anything that gives you XP bonus, I'm like, let's level up real quick. That way can unlock those talents.
So. That's just your RPG nature. That's any RPG player is going to be like, how can I level up the fastest and be as powerful as possible?
Carry as much as possible while I'm
That's right. It's Skyrim. My 900 wheels of cheese.
It's put this like, it's inhibited my life because now all I care about is money and stuff, and the house is just getting packed.
It's just
and
with Dwemer artifacts. Yeah, no, I think in Fallout, I think the first thing I did was when I realized that, because usually I'm like a luck, charisma, agility build when I play games, but in Fallout they're like, if you put points into intellect, you can get a perk that gives you like, it levels you up faster. I was like, well, I guess we're being smart boy this time.
Right.
See, I've got my Dwemer artifact
Hell yeah. Oh my God.
That's from the, I think it was the Morrowind expansion for Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, love it.
Hated those guys, but they're cool. They're cool as hell.
You're not just a gamer. You're also a musician. So what type of music influenced you growing up?
Oh man, this is weird to say, but I didn't like music growing up. I actually thought music was total crap growing up. I didn't like it, as a kid, which is very strange because my brother, he would play a bunch of Metallica. He was a guitarist, my older brother, and I shared a room with him. So all I would hear every flipping night was a cassette player, by the way, for you kiddos out there. You got to rewind it, right, with a button press.
And all I hear is like, over after a while, you gotta flip it over to.
And my brother was listening and playing these notes constantly in his guitar. And I'm like, I hate this. I was like, I do not like music anymore because all I'm hearing is my brother playing this poorly. Now he's a great musician, he's very good. But yeah, the first music I remember liking was like a emotional emo kind of alt rock stuff. Fell in love with a girl at 15 years old, and I listened to Goo Goo Dolls, and I sang her Goo Goo Dolls, and I was like, I guess this is me now. And so that was like, wish you would step back from that ledge. All that stuff.
Me and my band, we every once in a while we'll start covering that song Jumper. But the gag is we never make it through the first chorus, and we just start. I'm the vocalist. I just start crying just hysterically, and I never make it to the end of the song, and I just break down crying and screaming like, I will understand. And that's I like to bust that one out every now and then.
That's great.
It's crowd pleaser. It's crowd pleaser.
So what kind of music now influences you with both vocals, because you were singing earlier, and
I play a lot of folk music personally, Jason Mraz I really enjoy, John Mayer's got that kind of like sort of chill vibe to him. I really like singer songwritery stuff.
Souf John's
great. Like I enjoy simple chord. I mostly play guitar to sing, to be honest with you.
That's 100% of the reason why I have a guitar in the other room.
Yeah, I got tired of asking my friends, hey, dude, can you play this song?
I don't even like guitar. Oh.
You don't like guitar? I like this one in the background.
He has like four others around the room.
And musical theater, I went to school for theater and musical theater in undergrad. So I can't help but have that in my background as well. My partner, she was in Broadway's Hamilton for years.
Oh, cool.
Got to see her on Broadway, which is awesome. And so a lot of musical theater's in my veins for that. But yeah, man, I mean, like in terms of stuff I like to play, it's mostly singer-songwriter stuff.
We're obviously big music fans and video game fans. So like video game music is really interesting to us too.
Oh,
yeah. What's your favorite? I got to know what your guys is. Like, okay, what's your orchestration that you like really enjoy.
Oh, honestly, man. Like, Fable would probably be one of the tops.
Fable's great.
So he's the guy that does the Tim Burton movies. What's his name?
Oh, I'll look it up.
His name again.
He did
Harry Potter.
Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
Because he was actually the singing voice of Jack Skellington. He didn't speak the words. Like, he wasn't
what's
the voiceover.
Yeah.
I just watched the Netflix thing on creating that movie, and he wanted to do the voice, like, acting wise, and they're just like, know your limitations, pal. Know your limitations. All right.
But I would have to say, like, my favorite, it would be really torn between Legend of Zelda and Kingdom Hearts.
Ooh, Kingdom Hearts is good.
Because, you know, the Kingdom Hearts has that little bit more, it's almost Final Fantasy-esque, but it has a little bit more whimsy to it. A little more of that, like, Disney hint.
Of course.
To the music. And Legend of Zelda, that's my favorite, like, Nintendo series. And the music is so good. I got to see it actually performed. I went to the Symphony of the Goddesses, and it was incredible. So it's really torn between those two, I would say.
We had about video game music that I find so captivating is because it is attached to a narrative, to a story typically. So you know, Joseph, obviously you really enjoy Fable. Like, that soundtrack has a distinct sort of flavor taste. It's good by itself. Obviously you can listen to the music and be like, this is beautiful. Mm-hmm. But what specific imagery and all these things that get drummed up, it's a testament to the composer, man. You know,
when 100%.
They
For sure. It's what strikes you. It sets you in a mood.
That's one thing about video game music as a whole. Like, I have probably 200 different soundtracks of video game stuff on my computer, namely from Humble Bundles and indie stuff.
Sure.
But it's so fantastic when you're listening through and then you know what part of the game, and it helps elicit that emotion from you. You know, if it's in a sad part, you not only feel, you know, you can see it in the video game, but the music brings a whole new depth to it, and I absolutely love it.
Have you guys played Hollow Knight?
I started it. I have not played a whole lot of it yet.
No.
But the game is really fun.
My internet did it again, sorry.
Yeah, the orca.
I thought you were just sitting there like,
I'm just
doing a Saturday Night Live skit, you know. what's the one dude's name? Oh, it did it again.
I'm so sorry. It keeps happening. Anyway, I'll say it before it does it again. Hollow Knight, talking about the voice, the human voice, you know, like, because you get that in Halo. Choir, like the human voice is an interesting thing. I think cello is the closest instrument to the human voice, but like mathematically, sonically speaking. But when it comes to a piece of music that really just grabbed me by the heart, there's a song called City of Tears in the Hollow Knight soundtrack. Very lone, kind of solitary game. You're one little buggo creature making your way through this world, trying to figure out what happened to it. You get to the City of Tears, which is like once where all the bugs came to... I get fucking emotional thinking about it, man. Like, where all the bugs came to live together. It's kind of like, I guess, like Buggo America, if you would think, like all these things coming together. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, it... sadly failed. Everything's like all in disarray, but you're trying to figure out what happened. But the music is so beautiful, dude. It's so, because you get to hear this like one solitary voice go like da, 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 as you're exploring like the catacombs of what was, and it looks beautiful. Like, it's all the edifices are there. And I remember sitting there, like, I stopped playing the game. I just had to sit there and like listen, because it hit me like a ton of bricks, dude. Like, the visuals, the music, I highly encourage you guys, if you like platformers, and it's a good game for kiddos too, because it's not like too gory or anything, you know. It's hard though. It is hard.
It is. Yeah, I've played through a little bit of it, maybe a couple hours, you know, exploring and figuring stuff out, and it gets a little hard.
Metroidvania,
but, I mean, if you play games, like the Metroidvania style, and, you know, roguelites and stuff that's meant to be hard, it's not as bad.
Right. So, Rico, do you like anime at all?
Yeah, I grew up with it. I grew up with it. Yeah, I first.
I guess I figured we covered video games, we covered music, we covered video game music.
We keep going.
Let's touch on some anime a little bit.
Yeah. First anime I ever watched was a show. Well, I guess technically it was like Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon with like my cousins. Right. But like the first show anime like movie I ever watched was Akira. It was Akira.
Nice. And, see, I finally got him to watch that.
I did. I finally watched it. Dude, that movie is messed up. All right.
I watched that at 12. At 12 years old, I watched that.
Yeah. I got the
maybe there was a reason I never came across it when I was younger.
I got the Steelbook edition up here. I found at an old, like, what one of those old video stores.
Yeah.
Video store? What's that?
Yeah. What do you mean, video store? No, I'm kidding. With that music, dude.
I find some great anime at those places, and nobody else seems to want to buy them. So I'll take them.
Taiko drums and the Akira soundtrack. Good. I see. Like, it's freaking the music, the imagery, the attention to detail with all the animation blew my little mind, dude, when I watched that for the first time. I know
for a lot of people, that's what kind of brought them in and made them realize, like, anime wasn't just entertainment. It was an absolute art form, just like movies could be.
It scared people. I mean, like, Akira scared my grandma.
My wife won't watch it.
Yeah, like
watch it again.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, there were things that in that movie I remember watching it as a kid where like we had to watch it in secret because if my parents saw us watching it, like, what is this devilry? But like, I mean, I at that point knew that this is a medium that I'm interested in, and it felt a little kind of like edgelord, like, oh, you watch anime, like, you know, in school.
You just reminded me of like the anime button-up T-shirt I had in middle school. Rocking the
yes, dude.
See, now that's just you see somebody it's wearing that, it's like, oh, hey, cool. But back in middle school, man, you wear that and everybody's like, what the heck are you wearing, man?
Yeah, it was edgy. It was edgy at the time because it was a form of art that not a lot of people are familiar with, and I think that the exclusivity of that in a way, which was interesting because I feel like anime for the most part, I'm reading a really great book called The Soul of Anime right now, and it talks about sort of the, you know, we have the subs versus dubs argument. We have the inside of the anime world. We have all the different fandoms, right?
You know, you bring up the sub versus dub, and this is a topic that annoys the shit out of me because it only seems that the sub people, I should say subtitle, because sub people could be taken in any sort of direction. The people who like subtitles are the only ones angry about this conversation. Because they don't like dubs and they hate dubs. Me, I'm a slow reader. I'll admit it. I don't care. If I don't listen to it, I'm not. Plus, I got kids running around. I don't have time to read. Who can do that nowadays?
So yeah, to add that to the point, like you have the sub versus dub argument. That's like one of the things that it covers in this book.
Yeah.
In the whole world of anime, right? Inside of this thing, this little niche sort of art form that used to be so small, it felt like. And this book covers like how it made its way to the States, how we had to like go on eBay to like buy titles. We had to go to like our local library to rent different like episodes. I remember you guys have all been there. We're the same age.
I have a multi-regional DVD player that I shouldn't know that they even exist or why they have them, because a lot of people don't understand that DVDs are broken up into regions across the world.
Right.
And I have one because of anime.
Yeah, like, exactly. Region-specific things. Like
they
that
haven't
was something
been sold here yet, and I had to have them.
Precisely. You know? So even back then, we're talking about licensing. But anyway, all of this to say, like inside of this world of anime, there are people who, you know, want to build like these communities. So like I'm in My Hero Academia. I play Mirio Togata in that show. The My Hero fandom is like just on fire, dude. There's such great, beautiful people, like kids, all age groups. Like it reminds me of like Dragon Ball hype back when, you know, I was younger.
Right.
I mean, shoot, you got freaking Goku in the Macy's Day Parade, dude. Like, this is crazy. Like, you know what I mean? When we were kids, like, who would ever thought of that? Yeah. I would never have dreamt of that happening.
That it would blow up that big.
Well, back when it was starting, it was something like you'd mentioned that it was inclusive because you all, everybody who was a fan, it brought you together. But it was also a little exclusive because it kind of cast you out in some ways.
Yes, precisely.
So and it was both at the same time.
Yeah. And I guess that's what the point of one of the things that this book covers is like, you know, it started off as a very, I mean, in Japan, obviously, this is a, the birth of anime in Japan is a whole different topic. And it's really right. beautiful the way that, you know, Japanese artists and art makers in Japan interacted with this media, created anime, and the way that it proliferated through the world is just a beautiful story. But to get, yeah. just to jump to where we're at, it, and now, you know, with me dubbing it, I never would have thought that I would be doing this job. Like and the voice part of it. I'm an actor. I love acting, love performing, but to be able to act alongside like this beautiful art and the music. And I'm so happy you guys are musicians because you understand that when there's a track that slaps and yeah. you get to freaking act alongside it with beautiful animation, like Mirio's fight with Overhaul. I was like, I was so happy. There's an awesome fight in Gato where Justin Briner, who plays Midoriya in that show, he plays my cousin in that show, and it's about reclaiming the golden armor. This beautiful, the way the cinematography works with like the way they yeah. animate the characters. All of a sudden,
I'm so good at it,
bro. I'm so like, I get hype. I literally like my heart starts to race because I realize what you know the possibilities of what this art is going to mean for other people. Because yeah. obviously, we were talking about Akira. I mean, like, there's some imagery I can never get out of my mind from that. And we're currently now doing that for you know, watchers now, for viewers now. So it's really exciting, man.
Are there any projects that you would love to be a part of that you haven't voiced yet?
Oh, man, it's hard to call it like that. I'm a big, like, I went to school for theater for a long time, right, for acting. Yeah. And so I feel like I'm just grateful to be working, period, like as a freelance guy. You yeah. know what I mean? So dare I dream? But like there's, I mean, right now I'm spending a lot of time focusing on camera work. So for me, nice. I just got involved in a show that's going to be on Hulu, hopefully here in a few, on camera, you'll see this face and doing some on camera acting. Because I spent a lot of time, I do like parkour and gymnastics and circus stuff and fight cool, choreography. Cool. And so
right.
personally, like for career stuff, that's where I've been focusing my energy. But I suppose if I had like my way with more voice stuff for animation and games, it would be, I would like to do some like motion capture game stuff. I did stuff for Gearbox.
Oh, nice.
I was in Borderlands 3. I was Bo the burger guy. You get the burger gun from me. but like, I want to do some like Last of Us 2 blew my freaking mind. I love Last of Us.
Yeah,
and such a good game. I would love to be a part of a game like that, that has some really just intense acting beats, while also in a medium that, you know, you guys, we all really enjoy as video games. It's, you know, puts the player in the driver's seat.
Yeah, that seems like it'd be really cool.
So I can't really be too specific. I'm just happy, again, to be working on anything. But if I could work on a dope video game, that'd be... Although I do play Few in Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
That.
and Mirio, obviously, and in My Hero, the English dub of One's Justice 2. But yeah, I'm in a few games, actually. I'm in Paladins. I play Corvus in Paladins. I'm Achilles yeah. in Smite. I've got a few games out there that I'm in. But yeah, man, I would love to do some mocap work. That'd be dope.
So yeah, we have a question we ask everybody pretty much, and it's like, do you have a craziest sort of moment that's happened on the job, like just out there crazy?
And you have to skip the part where you got locked into the studio and had, you know, ripped off your shirt and
yeah. Everyone, that one's old. That's old hat. Let me think of a new one. Yeah. If you ever want to know about that, you just look up the hashtag Free Rico.
I saw it on your Twitter, actually.
It was actually, I'm you know, claustrophobic. So it started to get to me. I was like, I'm going to go insane. Yep. let me think. Something wild on set. I did a commercial where they didn't really tell me about this. They just hired me, and I guess they had seen that I do acro and stuff. But it was a commercial for, I think, Texas Lottery, and they were tossing me up on a trampoline, on a green screen trampoline, in like it was 15, 20 degrees outside, pretending it was summer. They're tossing me up, and I remember like they have a red camera, which is a nice camera, you know, 16,000 something, and it's a very expensive camera, and it's like right above me, and they're tossing me up at this thing, and I remember they're like, all right, we're gonna get it this time, you guys, this is the one. And we've done it so many times. There's people in the background cheering, and they're freezing their freaking ass off. Like so I want to get it done, right? We're trying to get this thing shot. It's non-union, so we're not, you know what I mean? This Texas, right to work state, all right? You can do union if you want. We don't have to do union. Anyway, long story short, too late. They're tossing me up at this camera. And I'm like, we're going to get it. Look really excited, Rico. And make sure to open your eyes, like real nice and open. And they're bouncing light directly into my eyes. So I'm like, like crying tears of like, as I'm being flown up. So we do it. I'm literally kind of blind. And I they bounce me so close to the camera. I'm like, I remember I almost like headbutted this darn camera. And I kind of like grabbed it gently. Mostly because I didn't want to destroy it with my face. But then as I went away, I was like, yay, still acting my ass off. You know what I mean? Like, I'm having a great time. They said, cut. Like, that was great. It looked awesome. Way to go. And I'm like,
Can I put clothes on now?
Please. Yes, for real. But I would say, like, in regards to, crazy out there sort of moments where I felt like I didn't feel like I was going to die, but like, I was not prepared for this. That was definitely one of those moments. But we got it done and we got it shot.
And it looked great.
Oh, man. So with theater, you know, you've done stuff with theater, right? Like you've acted on stage. And so what would you say would be your favorite show to both be part of and then your favorite show to watch?
Oh, man. Favorite show
production, I should say.
Favorite show production I was a part of, man. I've done a lot of theater. I don't know why in recent memory, I got to do Romeo and Juliet in 2016 at Shakespeare in the Park out here in Dallas. And that was delightful because, you know, lead Shakespearean role, very emotional role.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those ones where it's like, it feels good to kind of flex that muscle. That was just a treat in order to kind of work on that text. Anything with like a classical text with like a really good, I would just say just good writers in general, when you have good writing and you're getting to work on that, it's nice. It's a tasty treat as an actor to get to do that.
Right.
But let me think. Show that I've watched?
Yeah, like a production that you love to be
an
audience member.
I have seen this show four or five times. Four times.
Green Day musical?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have friends in that show. Sleep No More.
Sleep No More?
No More.
Interactive show over in Chelsea in Manhattan. It's the best show. I would love to be. I've auditioned.
Interactive show.
I haven't got to. Yeah, it's insane, you guys. They stick a mask on you and it's a movement piece, I guess, essentially, but it's more than that. It's really hard to describe. If we go there, without spoiling it, one day if we're in New York together, I will 120% always go with you if you're doing this show and we can get tickets. But you go in, they hand you a playing card, right? You check your coat, you go into this like portal, and you're now in this beautiful speakeasy kind of bar.
Wow.
And as they're playing this great jazz music, getting you kind of liquored up, all of a sudden they're like, all right, I think it's time for the twos. The twos have to go. And if, say, for instance, you know, Joseph's got a two, he gets separated from our group and they take him away.
Oh, no, Joe.
And now you're sitting there in the bar and we're hanging out talking. All of a sudden, they're like, all right, sevens. I think it's your time, sevens. And slowly the tone of the whole bar just starts to shift slightly.
Yeah.
You can tell things get a little the music starts to change a little bit. Even the musicians start to kind of, their attitude starts to change. And eventually you're in the bar pretty much alone. And they're like, hey, you should probably get going. Your friends, you might not be able to see your friends. Like, you'll make some new friends, and it's just this spooky, crazy experience, you guys.
Oh, dude, that sounds awesome.
Bro, I can't even, I don't
want to. Just off of that, like, no more explanations needed. Like, that has me.
Yeah. It's insane. There's levels to it. My good friend, Alexis Tipton, who's fellow actor, and other pal, Amberlee Connors, we've gone out there several times together, and it's just been, we've gone to see that show. We've gone to New York just to see that show. Nice. It's incredible. Incredible. And they have a few different productions around the world that Punch Drunk, the company Punch Drunk, does it. I bought their book because they're a company that I seek to emulate. If I were to make more theater, I want to make, it's very experiential, like a video game, actually.
Yeah.
To where I want to draw our viewers in a way that they have a nice stakeness. You have full agency. You can go, you can literally just sit, the set design is so good. You could sit down and read a book and that could be your whole experience. You could go and sit in the main auditorium where you wind up at and experience a whole show if you just planted your happy ass right there. But, or you could chase one character because they are running full speed and you need to follow them. Like if you see a character that you want to know more about and they may lock a door behind themselves, you got to find a new path. It's
could you kick down the door or might that get you in trouble?
That might get you in trouble. However, okay. However, fair enough. If you knock,
they might answer.
They might answer. And all of a sudden you'll whisper in your ear, you know, like fortune favors the bold. And then you get pushed into an elevator and all of a sudden you're in a wheelchair and they're pulling you around with private performance. And you're like, what the heck is happening?
Now, how does that make me the bold or the fortunate? Because that's
up for you to decide, man. Anyway,
that's crazy.
That's really fun. You've talked about on other stuff that you've done, interviews and stuff, like how you, when you got into your role for My Hero, you picked up the manga, you started reading that. Do you read any other manga?
Yeah, I have. I usually will read it if it involves, I'm actually looking at some of my collection over there. I've got some for Golden Kamuy, which is a show I'm working on. Fire Force, I had Arslan. I try to read them if they're like roles that kind of require it. Because, you know, obviously manga ain't cheap. And if I got to get it from Japan or I'm ordering it, I'm like, oh, man.
I mean, just Barnes & Noble, it's like $10 a volume.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing. But if
when I'm dubbing it, 100 volumes.
It's true. And if we're simul-dubbing it, I need to get the material like ASAP. So sometimes I'll subscribe to something or, you know, to try to get a hold of it.
I know the Viz Media app is like $2 a month or something like
that. Viz is great, dude. Viz is really good. They actually, and they give you the first three, like if you went right now and look,
they give you the first three and then the latest three for free, I think,
which is it's rad, dude. It's really cool, especially for people that love to binge, because you can just like,
oh dude, I've been reading Dr. Stone. All caught up on that,
dude.
What were there, like 180 something chapters, and I read it all in like 2 weeks. I couldn't stop. You know, I have bad insomnia sometimes, so if I'm up, I'm just on my phone, just
I feel you
browsing.
I try to read myself to sleep as well.
So any that you've been reading that aren't part of a show that you're part of?
Well,
any recommendations?
You did say Dr. Stone. I play Taiju in that show. And mm-hmm. Even though I'm in that, I've been...
Well, and he's coming back, too.
Right. My good friend, Aaron Dismuke, plays Senku in the show. And so I've been wanting to get a hold of the manga been reading.
It's good. Dude, it's gotten all kinds of crazy.
You know, I haven't been reading as much right now. I've been trying to read some other books. Not as much. I think the last like animated sort of graphic novel thing I've been into, I was bouncing between Saga and Preacher. Which both are great. But that's as far as I can get to in regards to manga just right now, because I've been doing so much streaming. I feel like I haven't had as much manga time. But
completely understand. Well, we'll wrap this up. We usually have our guests do a bump, introduce the, you know, for an introduction for the episode.
Okay.
So if you want to do that, introduce yourself, character you play, and then you're listening to Two Dads in a Podcast. You can do it in character, out of character, doesn't matter.
Cool. All right.
You want to.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, it's Rico Fajardo. I play Mirio Togata in My Hero Academia, and you're listening to Two Dads in a Podcast.
All right. That was such a fun interview.
Man.
He's so humble. He's so full of positive energy that it's infectious.
No doubt.
It's absolutely infectious. And I absolutely love it. Love it.
For sure.
So, but guys, as always,
such a fun time.
You know, you can reach us if you have any comments about the interview, or if you want to, you know, if you want to just let us know what you think about it. If you want to give us any suggestions, you can reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our email is 2dap2020@gmail.com. And the full interview, because this one was a long one, and it's namely because we just got on tangents. We just started chatting and talking.
We talked for a while.
So I had to cut it like pretty much more.
He was so easy to talk to.
He was.
He was a fun guy to converse with.
So just we had like, I had to cut this one down by more than half. So
yeah. I but, believe it.
If you want to see the entire interview, our Patreon at the $5 tier, just $5 a month, will get you access to all, I want to say, what are we up to? 10 interviews that we have aired? Nine Whoa. Interviews we've aired so
More
far?
Than 10 or 9 or no, up to no. 13.
Are we? Let's see. Well, that we've aired so far. Let's see here. We got 10, 11. So we've aired 10 of the 11 so far.
Oh, okay.
So you get full access, unedited. You get to see him talk about his beans, and you get to see the Joe Show.
The Joe Show.
So
pew, pew,
thank you guys so much for
pew,
listening.
Pew.
And we'll catch you later.